Chapter 6. We're in the book of Joshua. What a book this is. You're Joshua now. They've come in through the land. God is now beginning to speak to Joshua. And God now is leading Joshua as they've come across the Jordan River onto the other side. And the first place they're coming to is God wants them to exercise and have victory of faith through faith is to the city of Jericho, where there's a lot of problems today. When you go to Jericho, it is incredible to see what God did in the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua. Because you cannot believe that not even a round was actually fired. Not even one arrow was used in the city of Jericho. God did it all as Joshua was obedient to the word of God. Look what it says beginning with chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in." Now they already had heard that the people of God were coming, and remember, the people of the land were afraid of the Jews. They were not afraid of the Jews because they were actually a Jewish people. They were afraid of the people of God because of their God, because of what God had done to the people of God, to the other people that he had wiped out. And they knew they were in trouble. They knew they were not fighting against Israel. They were going to fight who? Against God himself. And God was going to give the victory to his own people. And here, look what he says in verse 2. "And then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, it is, and its king too, and the mighty men of valor.'" What is God doing? God is making a promise to Joshua and encouraging him not only not to be afraid. You are a leader, Joshua. I'm giving you everything. All you have to do is take instruction. And then when I give you instruction, go ahead and obey what I say. That's the way God always works. God doesn't expect you to figure him out. When God speaks, he speaks clearly, and when he leads and he guides and he provides, he always does it his way, not our way. Joshua didn't have to question God. God here is going to tell him exactly how he is going to win Jericho. Look what he says to him. Verse 3. "You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. Then 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets or ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. And then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before you." Now, what would happen if God told you to do that? All I want you to do is just to march around and sing songs, and then on the last day, I want you to yell as loud as you can. And I'm going to knock down the walls of the city. Hey, I've been on top of those walls many, many times in Jericho. And it's an incredible thing to sit in the city of Jericho and to be able to see that those very stones that are there in Joshua chapter 6, the command of God, that God did it in a miracle, and those great huge walls came tumbling down as the people of God marched around by faith, believing the promises of God, without firing one arrow, without lifting up a little finger. God did it all because of his love and his grace and his mercy that he had towards his people. You say, "Well, is God working like that today?" I believe God works any way he wants to. He's God. We're just regular people that God wants to use, even as he used Joshua. And so here is the leader listening, and it's good to listen and to pay attention. And never to interrupt what God is saying, but just to wait patiently as God gives the instruction and He speaks. And then listen, as you're listening carefully, then obey what God says, and then God will bless it in a mighty way. Because if it be so easy for Joshua to say, well, Lord, it sounds good, you know, what you're saying, but are you sure it's going to work? There's always that human element on the other side of unbelief. But Joshua had already seen many things that God had done in the life of the people of God. And this was just one more thing that God would do in the life of Joshua. Look what else He says to them. In verse 6, He says, and so Joshua, the son of Nun, his mother was not a nun. That's just a thing there, okay? He says, was called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And then he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. You notice that immediately, what did he do? The command was given in obedience as a general of the army of the Lord. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And immediately he paid attention and he went to the troops. And he took the word of God to them immediately. This is what we're going to do. This is what God said He'd do, and He's going to do it, and we're going to proceed it. Verse 7. And then he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. And so it was that when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horn before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And then the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets. And the rear, and notice that who was leading the troops? It was actually the musicians. You see? The worshipers. Leading the whole gang over to the side. And then watch what happens. And so it was that as Joshua, verse 9, the armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And now Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. Imagine, they had to be quiet. They had to learn how to take orders. And they marched around that city without saying a word. Now, what do you think the people in the city were thinking as they were marching around their city? They probably said, hey man, we're dust. Because they already had heard of the fame of God and what God was going to do. And so they already knew why. Because remember, Rahab lived in that city. She was delivered out of that city because she helped the spies. And now the city is going to be taken by the Jews. Look again, verse 11. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it, because the ark had the presence of God. And then they came into the camp, and they lodged in the camp. And then Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And then 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets, the ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord went on continually, blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And then the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did this for 6 days. So can you imagine the people in the city watching? Once, they go back home. Twice, they go back home. 6 days in a row, waiting for the judgment of God to come. Verse 15. And then it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day. And they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times, and the 7th time it was so. 7 is the number of perfection, completeness. And the 7th time it was so, when the priests blew the trumpets, and then Joshua said to the people, okay, you guys, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Notice the command. They shouted. Why? Because the Lord has given you the city. What does that say? It speaks of faith and victory as a child of God. God is giving you the victory. It's not your own victory. It belongs to the Lord. He's the one that has raised you up. He's the one that has commanded it. He's the one that is leading you and guiding you. He's the one that is going to do the work, and He's going to use your life to accomplish it. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. And in all this, He says, and in all who are in it, they're going to die. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers, notice that we sent. And you, by all means, and here is the command now, because what happens when you actually take a city, you know, what's in the city? There are spoils. There's gold, there's silver, there's food, there's sheep, there's land, there's people. What do you do with that city? Here's what God says. And you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now, whenever God gives a command like that, you better listen. Don't touch. Don't taste. Don't drink. Don't eat. Why? Because God was given the command here because God desired all of the first fruits for Himself, not for you or for me. God gets the best. Think of how many people today, literally, you know, after God blesses them financially and God gives you even what you have, how many times do you really understand that everything belongs to God? It's not yours. It's not mine. Can you imagine when God set up the Levitical law in the Old Testament when they came to the book of Exodus and they were building the tabernacle? And in chapter 36, in building the tabernacle, Moses came to the people and he just told them what God said. God says, you guys need to give to God, what, you know, sacrificially, whatever you want to give to God. And they gave so much that this is the only place in the Bible where God said, you've given too much, don't give anymore. You don't hear that today. I believe personally that as you look at the Old Testament, you look at the New Testament, because we know that probably in a church, in almost every church, only 18% of 100% give to the Lord. Only 18% give to God. You say, well, what about the rest? The rest are thieves. They don't give to God. And it's so sad. You know, Christmas time is coming up and people are getting ready to, you know, to start buying presents for loved ones and friends, which there's nothing wrong with that. But there will be people that will not give to God in the month of November or December and even January. Why? Because their visa will be so high they have to make the payments. And they'll get in debt financially. When God really desires nothing, but God desires that when you give to Him willingly and hilariously, because God doesn't need it. You're the one that needs it. God doesn't want you to give or give forcefully or out of necessity. But when we give to God, we give, first of all, because it is commanded to give to God. Everything, can you imagine if God would have said in the Bible, I want you to give me 90% and you keep 10%. I don't think it would work. I don't think it would work. But here God says, I just want you to give me 10% and you keep 90%. Can you imagine that? And yet there are people that can't even give 1% of their income. Covetousness. Selfishness. So sad. Because there should be no church in the United States of America or any place in the world, no matter how rich or poor they may be, if people would give as God says to give, there would be no debts. No debts. But it's because people think of themselves more highly and think of themselves greatly than they do of God. And they don't have the fear of the Lord. Because in the Old Testament, if I would ever borrow from God, let's say, you know, I have to give God 10%. I say, well, Lord, this month I can't give to you. I'll give to you next time. God says, no problem. Just put up, I'm going to charge you 20%. Now you owe 30%. You see, God invested. You don't give me today, you're going to pay me back 20%. So by the end of the month, you owe me 30%. Can you imagine if that's the way it would be today? Thank God it's not. But think of this, that one day you're going to stand in the presence of God. I'm going to stand in the presence of God. You're going to have to give an account to God at the Bema Seat of Christ, which is the reward system. You're going to have to give an account, and I'm going to have to give an account of my giving to God. And how sad it's going to be for so many people as they stand before God, and God is going to say, you don't get a crown, you don't get what you're supposed to get because you rob God of offering and tithings. It's going to burn in the fire because you were not a giving person. And what you're doing is you're teaching your children to be the same way. If you're not giving, they won't be giving either. If they see you covet and get and get and get and buy and never give, hey, you know what? You're missing it. Because the Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. And God here in this lesson, as they're going in, man, there's a temptation that when you go into a town and there's all the gold and the silver and all of the lambs and goats and clothes and there's all kinds of things, people get greedy. They get greedy. And God says, before you do anything, I don't want you to touch anything. Whatever you bring out, it's mine, saith the Lord. The best is for God. And the rest, you get rid of it. God wants the best. Look what he says. And you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and troubled. And what does it mean by that? He says this. He says, when you go in and I wipe out the city and you start actually going from house to house and you're picking up their gold, their silver, their garments, whatever it is, you know, there will be people, he says, if there's one person that takes some stuff, they say a golden cup that's worth a lot of money, and he actually stuffs it and he takes it to his own tent and he buries it and he hides it without anybody knowing about it, he says it's going to affect the whole camp. One person's sin will affect the whole camp. God is warning them before it happens. And that's the way it is. Because the Bible says in the New Testament that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Can you imagine with every one of our sins as we gather together in the house of God, can you imagine how much leaven there is here with each one of us? That's why the blessings of God come when God's people repent. And God can cleanse us and wash us by his precious blood. And whenever God warns me or God speaks to me, I have to listen because God knows what is best for me. I don't know what's best for me. God can see into the future. I can't. God sees me and he's warning me because maybe 6 months later on, I'm going to be tempted in such a way that that God is saying, hey, this is what's going to happen to you, but I'm warning you before so you can prepare and know that I am God and I will bless you and don't touch anything that is unclean. But if you don't listen, then you're going to sin against God. Just like Achan will in the next chapter. Look what he says, verse 19. But all the silver, why? Why does God want the silver? Because the silver speaks of redemption. Redemption. And all the gold speaks of what? Of deity. And all the vessels of bronze, which speaks of what? Of judgment. And iron are consecrated to the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Notice that. God wants the best for himself. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Notice, God's word fulfilled through faith. Victory through faith. Victory through obedience in the word of God by listening to God's voice. So the walls came tumbling down. Verse 21. And then they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men, women, young, old, ox, sheep, donkey with the edge of the sword. You said, now why would God allow Joshua and the people of God to go in and kill the children, kill the women, kill the men? A lot of people, they really have a hard time with that. But it's very simple. The reason God killed the women and the men, they were heathens. Remember, what was God doing? God was looking for the line of Jesus Christ. God did not want his people to what? To marry anyone that was a heathen, because that would come into the line of Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is today. What does it say? Be you not unequally yoked together without unbelievers. What fellowship has light with darkness? From the old to the new. God knows what is best for us. And so God got rid of all the heathens that worship all the gods like Molech and Baalah, God of Molech, Balaam. And then you have, of course, the God of money, the God of power, the God of burning babies in the fire, the God of Molech. These were the people that worship all these heathen gods. And so God wiped them out. First of all, God, by his grace and his love and mercy, warned them and forewarned them for many years to come. And they did not take heed to the word of God. So now judgment of God comes. And they're wiped out. Look what else he says to them. And so Joshua said, verse 22, he said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring her out, the woman, and all that she has, as we swore to her. And then the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought all of her relatives and led them outside of the camp of Israel. Now remember what was hanging on her actual window? A cord, remember, that spoke for what? For redemption. A scarlet cord that spoke of the redemption of God. That house would not be touched by judgment. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed that home. In all these lives, just like in Exodus, remember when they came out of Egypt, those that put the blood on top of the doorpost, the sign of the cross, on the top and the both sides, the angel of death came by, never wiped out any who had the blood on their doorpost, but those that did not have it, every firstborn was dead. The judgment of God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, washes us from all sin, and saves us, man, completely. Verse 24. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And then Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had, so she dwells in Israel until this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And then Joshua charged them all at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. And so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Notice what it says, the Lord was with Joshua. That was his key to the kingdom of God. Chapter 7, verse 1. And then the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, notice here he is, Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Sadi, the son of Sarah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Notice this. Notice that a man's sin affected the whole nation. One man's sin. Now, you say, well, how did it affect it? Well, you'll see in a moment. God would not fight their battles anymore until there would be repentance, until there would be confession. Look what he says. And now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. And so the men went up to spy out Ai. And then they returned to Joshua and said unto them, and here it is, these men got so self-confident because they won the battle in Jericho, and they forgot that God gave them the victory. So what happened? They became self-confident. Hey, we don't have to take a lot of people with us. Hey, let us go up with 3,000 men and we can take Ai. But what they didn't know is that they were going on their own and God was not with them, and they were going to lose 25 people, were going to die, and they were going to run back to Joshua totally defeated and overtaken by their enemy. Why? Because there's sin in the camp. God cannot bless it. Look what he says. They said, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to attack Ai. Do not worry all the people there, for the people of Ai are just a few people." Notice that. So about 3,000 men went up from there, from the peoples. But they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gates of as far as Sharabim, and struck them down at the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted because they were like water. And then Joshua tore his clothes and he fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust in their heads. And they're actually saying, "Lord, what is wrong? Why did we get beat? When you told us that we were going to be, that we were actually going to win all the battles." Notice their reaction to defeat. Humility. They're actually in the presence of the Lord, and they're ripping their clothes, and they're taking dust in their heads and rubbing it, in kind of a sign of mournfulness, a sign of repentance, asking God. And then check this out, verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas," a word of hopelessness, "Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." Notice that he is complaining against God because he does not see like God sees. Here, the leader of Israel, Joshua, doesn't even understand that there's sin in the camp. Verse 8, "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before their enemies? Don't you know, God, that when the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear about this, they will surround us and will cut us off, our name from the earth forever? Then what will you do for your great name?" Give me a break, Joshua. God knows that. Here Joshua has a poor pity. You know, he's actually telling God, "God, what's going to happen when they kill us and they defeat us? And what about your name?" You see, when God already told him, "Joshua, don't worry about it. I'm in command. I'm going to show you." Watch what God says to him. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Joshua, get up, you baby." We should mark that because we're just like Joshua. "Get up. Why do you lie on your face? What is wrong with you?" Notice that. God is saying, "Why are you crying? Israel, look, here's the problem. Israel has sinned, and they also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff." Here is the sin. God tells him exactly what happens. "Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you." God says, "If you don't take care of the problem, I'm leaving you. I'm going somewhere else." Notice how serious sin is before God. God says, "If you don't take care of the problem of sin, and you don't find out who did it, and you don't discipline that person, I'm going to go somewhere else, and you're going to lose all the battles because I will not be with you to fight those battles." God wants the house to be clean. If God's going to move, if God's going to give us the victory, if God's going to continue to do a great work in my life and in the life of this church, then God wants all the leaven gone and all the sin put away so that God can use our lives. Look what else he says to them. Verse 13, "Get up and sanctify." Here's the requirement. "Sanctify the people and say, set yourselves apart for tomorrow, because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until now, until you take away the accursed things from among you." There is no blessing until there's repentance. Notice that. even in the Old Testament. God will not bless it. And in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribes that the Lord takes shall come according to their families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. So God is a God of order. He's going to do it in order and in decency here. He's going to bring out everybody, and he's going to judge. Then it shall be that he who has taken the accursed thing shall be burned with fire. He and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Now, what he doesn't understand, not God or Joshua, but what he doesn't understand, Achan, when he took that stuff and he took it to his tent and he actually hid it. He not only condemned himself, guess who he condemned? His wife, his children, his mother, his father, and his grandfather, his grandmother, and they're all going to die because of his sin. Sin is terrible. The way, when you sin, everybody is affected by it. It's not only you. Look what happens. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning. He brought Israel by the tribes. The tribe of Judah was taken. And then he brought the clans of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. And he brought the family of the Zerahites, men by men. Zadok was taken. And he brought his house, and he says, a whole by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, and the son of Zadok, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. And so Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So he's giving him an opportunity to do what? To repent. Don't hide it. Tell me, what did you do? God always gives us a space to repent before the judgment of God comes. Here God is asking him, hey, did you do it? Here's his confession, verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. Now, here is true confession, true repentance. It's the Old Testament. He's not going to be let go. He is going to die. No grace there. He will die for what he's done. Watch what happens. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, notice he was tempted. 200 shekels of silver, covetousness, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and I took them. Notice that. And there they are, hidden on the earth in the midst of my tent, and with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent. And there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua, to all the children of Israel, laid them on before the Lord. And then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah's silver, and the garments, and the wedge of the gold, his son, his daughter, his oxen, his donkeys, sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor, which the valley of Achor in Hebrew means the valley of trouble. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And so all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there till this day. And so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, and therefore the name of the place has been called the Valley of Achor until this day, which is what? The Valley of Trouble. Very quickly, chapter 8, it's just really, really important here. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Notice, one sin is taken care of, God is in fellowship again, God is moving again. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai now. Now they defeated you, now you're going to take them. I have given it into your hands, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and all the land. And as you shall do to Ai and its kings, as you did to Jericho and its kings, only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. And so Joshua rose up all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And then he commanded them, saying, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind the city. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and it will come about that when they come out against us at first, and they shall flee before them. So they go, look, you guys hide here. You guys get ready. We'll go up to the city. And when we get up to the city, we'll go, hey, here we are, and they'll start chasing us. And as they're chasing us, once we pass you, then we can ambush them and we can take them all. Good, good strategy for an ambush. Look what he says. For they will come out after us until we have drawn them from the city. Verse 6. For they will say they are fleeing before us, as at first they're afraid of us, therefore we flee before them. Then you shall rise from the ambush, seize the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hands. And it will be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord, you shall do it. See that I have commanded you. So Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged by night among the people. And then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city, and they came to the north side of Ai. And now there was a valley between them and Ai. And then he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people there and all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard in the west of the city, Joshua that night went into the midst of the valley. And now it happened that when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hastened and rose early and went out against Israel to the battle. And he and all his people at the appointed place before the plain, but he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind him. Notice, behind the city. And so Joshua and all Israel made it as if they were beaten before them, and they fled as cowards by the way of the wilderness. And so all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai and Bethel who did not go up after Israel. So they left the city and opened and pursued Israel. And then the Lord said to Joshua, notice the whole time who's speaking, God is giving direction. You see? We are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. Who is our counselor? The Lord. He'll tell you every step of the way when you talk to him. And then he says to him, God is speaking to him. And then in verse 18, then the Lord said to Joshua, search out your spear that is in your hand towards Ai, and I will give it into your hand. A step of faith, stretching out his hand. And Joshua stretched out his spear, and he did that he had in his hand towards the city. Notice he does everything God says by obedience. And so those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hastened to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai, notice this, looked behind them, they saw and behold the smoke of the city ascended to heaven, and they said, oh man, we are dust. And so they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back and the pursuers. And now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. They killed them all, just like God said. And then the others came out of the city against them. And so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on the side and some on the other side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. So what does God do when you obey? He'll take care of all your enemy. You don't have to worry about it. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all of the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they actually pursued them. And when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword, until they had consumed all the Israelites, returned to Ai, struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000 in all the people of Ai. And for Joshua did not draw back his hand, which he stretched out his spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock, the spoil of the city, Israel took for the booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So they were obedient to that. And then Joshua burned Ai and made a heap forever, a desolation of the city. And then the king of Ai was hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take this corpse down from the tree, cast it into the entrance of the gate of the city, and then raise it over the great heaps of stones that remain until this day. And then now Joshua built an altar to the Lord and to Israel, the Mount of Ebal. So now here is God. He goes through them, gives them the victory. And what's the next thing Joshua does? As soon as God gives him the victory, since taken care of, he does worship before God. He builds an altar to the Lord to renew the covenant between him and God. Good idea to do. Whenever we sin against God, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Get back as soon as you can to God when you sin. Don't delay it. Look at Joshua. He begins to worship God. And now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, which is near Shechem in Samaria. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. But here he's actually quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of the law of Moses, an altar, the whole stones over which no man, which actually makes it real fancy with any iron tool. God didn't want anything fancy to be brought attention. Why? Because people would start worshiping the altar rather than God. God says, just put a bunch of stones there, do your sacrifice, and worship me. And then they offered on it burnt offerings, which are what? Offerings of consecration of my life to God. Secondly, he says, they offered a burnt offering to the Lord and sacrificed also a peace offering, which is what? An offering of fellowship back with God. The consecration of my life with God and my fellowship with God now, once again. And then notice what he says, and there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote down on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And then all Israel, with all the elders of officers, judges, stood in either side of the ark before the priests and the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger as well as he who was born among them, half of them were from the Mount Gerizim, and half of them on Mount Ebal. So they actually, this is where they would actually go up and call out the name of the Lord. And then they, notice, as they commanded before, and they should bless the people of Israel. And afterwards he read all the words of the law, and the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 29, and 30. So they were on both mountains, and they were actually screaming out the laws of God, the blessings and the cursings of God. And then there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the congregation of Israel, with all the women, all the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. So we begin to see that as God gives them the victory, the women, the children, the military, everybody together as a nation is doing what? Seeking God. Seeking the Lord. Making sure that my relationship with Him is right on, so that God can continue to move in my life. Father, we ask you tonight to lead us, to guide us as we go through the book of Joshua, that we would learn, Father, how to trust in you completely, and that you would help us to fight our battles, Lord. As we put our trust in you, Father, as we take on the whole armor of God. And Lord, we thank you so much that we are New Testament saints. And Father, we ask you that you would help us to have faith in you, Lord, and that you bless this place, Father, that you bless your people. I don't know what people are facing today, God, but you know. And Father, we don't even know how many people are in sin, but you know. Lord, we ask you that we would repent, that we would return to you. And Lord, that everything that we have, our silver and our gold, And everything that we possess, we give to you, God. Father, to use it to build the kingdom of God, Jesus. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you, maybe visiting for the first time, and they're not Christians, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you already have spoken to them, Lord. And if there's anyone here tonight that is not a Christian, and you're tired of your life, and you're seeking and pursuing after God, and this evening He brought you here, and He's convicting you of your sin, and you want to make things right with God, you can do it tonight. He will take His precious blood, if you repent, if you confess your sins to Him, and you receive Him by faith, He will take your sins, and He'll get rid of them completely once and for all. And He'll wash you by His precious blood. And He will write your name in the book of life. And He will give you eternal life tonight.